Hallelujah. We thank you tonight, dear Lord. For you are bringing us to the point where we can say indeed that through hard trials, tribulation, persecution, trouble and all, hallelujah, that we are going to see the King. Hallelujah. So I will not give you rest until Jerusalem, hallelujah, has been put, my God, is standing on the mountaintop where all nations, my God, will be drawn into it. We thank you, dear Lord. We're going with you, my God, to all the stages. Hallelujah. And we thank you, oh God. We make confession tonight as a people, as individuals, dear Lord. My God, beyond the song, we know you see our hearts as it lifts up unto you, saying, dear Lord, my God, that we have made up our mind to go on. My God, we have come tonight, oh God, as it may be a small thing, but we have come tonight,
hallelujah,
to affirm, dear Lord, yes, hallelujah, yes, that we have made up our mind, yes, to go on with you, yes, to go on through thick and through thin, oh God, to go on with you, my God, in little riches, in poverty, my God, in life, in death, hallelujah, we want to go on with you, we want to be with you, we want to be at your side, hallelujah, no matter how tough and rough it may look, oh God, dear Lord, it is you that we want. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. Hallelujah. We rebuke every devil from hell. Hey, put on a man. Good time. Every force that is being arranged against us to prevent us from receiving the energy that you have sent from heaven. Whatever coverings of darkness, we stand in the name of Yeshua. Loose your hold. Thank you, dear Lord. Let only your word come true. Only your word, let it come true tonight. Let no other throne survive in our hearts. Let the contention cease tonight, oh God. That you will sit on the throne of our hearts. Thank you, Father. Thank you for bringing us to this great feast that we are invited. We say thank you, dear Lord. Blessed be God evermore. In Yahshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lord, we bless you for such a time as this. Lord, we do not count it light that you have caused us to be alive, to be strong, to have the opportunity to come before your presence. We acknowledge all that you have done. We acknowledge your grace and your mercy unto us to bring us to this place. We bring our hearts. We bring all the dimensions of our being. We call them to attention to appear before you. Lord, that you might anoint our hearts afresh, anoint our ears afresh. You might anoint your word. You might anoint this gathering, this weekend, this time set aside, that you might come to be with us. We ask that you will visit with us, that you will draw hearts unto yourself. Lord, that you will draw men unto you, that you will be lifted up, that in our circumstances you will be lifted up. Let your power be mighty upon the neck of the king's enemies. Let all the strongholds of the enemy be broken down. May they be like what happened to Og, the king of Sihon. Maybe like what happened to Sihon, to those giants. Lord, that you will be strong, O God, that the giants that we have seen, these Amorites, these ones that dwell in the midst of the ground, these that dwell in the different dimensions of our soul, that they have built a kingdom and a stronghold to themselves. He said, no one, David, you will not be able to cast us down. But Lord, we pray that this stronghold will be taken down. We proclaim to the stronghold, we say, the time has come for the strongholds to be broken down. Hallelujah. That the glory of our God will be made manifest. Lord, that you will teach us your ways. We pray and ask for the revelation of Christ. We say that day that you will reveal yourself to every man and to every heart. Lord, we pray that you will bring us unto yourself and you might instruct us. And that the entrance of your word will bring life and light. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 We thank God for this opportunity. For this opportunity to take time out of this holiday, you know it's a long holiday, all through to Monday, and we thank God for granting us the grace to take time out to come to study together. It's not going to be a preaching, but it's going to be more like a discussion, a Bible study, as it were. And the reason is that we are in a transition, and for every one of us, we must understand what God is saying and what God is doing. It is different from what it was in the past. So it's going to be, if as we're going on, you have questions, you can stop. You can stop me in the middle. You can raise your hand, ask your question. And even if you have a comment that's relevant, you can also bring it. So it's going to be not a preaching, but sharing together. So what is laid in my heart this evening is to look at the foundations of priesthood. This weekend, I have a burden to talk about priesthood. But today, we're going to look at the foundations of priesthood. And if you do not understand the foundations, you cannot follow on. You'll be lost. So it's important to understand the foundations. So I'm going to be very slow, and I'm going to take, there are nine or eight principles for the foundation of priesthood that we are going to be looking at. And like I said, you can ask questions, because that's the whole idea. It's not preaching, because you must understand. This is supposed to be something that can help us practically overcome in our homes, at work, in our relationships. You know, it has to be practical. You know, so that is where we are coming from. The first scripture we'll be looking at is Psalm 90 verse 1. Psalm 90 verse 1. Psalm 90 verse 1. Stephen. So what? Okay, you have seen it. Psalm 90 verse 1. It's a popular scripture that we know. It says, it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. It says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains we are brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Did you read that scripture? That scripture is making some very important statements. It says, before God formed the mountains, before he formed the earth, from everlasting, okay, that God has been our dwelling place. So, the origin of man has been from beginning in the heart of God. I don't know if you understand that. The origin of man, of you as a person, you have been in the heart of God from all generations. Even before he formed the earth, even before he made the mountains, you have been in God. Do you understand that? You have to let that sink in. Because see, that is the basis of priesthood. If you don't understand it, the devil will be playing around you. You can never measure. Let's read it again. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains we are brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. This is the foundation that right from the beginning, before the Old Testament, you have been in God. Hallelujah. So you are not a small person. You are not a non-entity. You are somebody in God. Hallelujah. Okay, can we find another scripture that says something like this? Alright, let's go to Ephesians 1. Okay, verse 3. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in Christ Alright? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. So when did God choose you? He didn't just choose you. But you had a location. What is the location? What is the location? God didn't just choose you anyhow. Where are you chosen? In Christ. Christ. Alright? So before the foundation of the world, Christ was. And God chose you in Christ. Amen. In Christ, you are somebody. Outside Christ, you are nothing. Amen. After Christ, you are nothing. I am nothing. But in Christ, I am somebody. Because in Christ, God proposed and He chose you. Amen. This is very important. You may not fully appreciate it, but that's the foundation. So we have another scripture. We've seen Moses talking about the foundation. And then we have also seen Ephesians, Paul, talking about the same foundation, that before the foundation, God chose the people. So when you are talking of Christ, Christ is something that is, I'm going to draw it on the board, is something that was there before time began. Time began when Adam sinned. Christ was there before that. Amen. And when God will finish the matter of sin, Christ will still continue. Amen. That's what we are looking at. Amen. Okay, good. So that's the foundation. Now, let's take the first principle. The first principle of priesthood. Okay? You find it in Acts chapter 2. The first principle. Okay, let's read from 22. Acts 2:22 says, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you." Now, do you read that sentence? It says, "A man approved of you." Okay? So we're talking about a man like you. Alright? "A man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God had raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Now, watch. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." Verse 29 is the principle. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath," we are looking at an oath that God swore, an oath to him, "that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He seen this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Amen. Now, this is what I call, well, the scripture calls it, the sure mercies of David. Amen. The sure mercies of David. Now, what is this principle? God came to David and he swore to David. He said, look, if you walk in my ways, I make a promise to you that from your loins, from your family, there will not cease to be a son that will not sit on the throne. It was a promise God made, that I promise you, you will always have someone from your loins sitting on the throne of David. Amen. So whatever God did, that promise was never broken, that someone from the line of David was going to sit on the throne. Now, when you look at it, even in the natural, we can trace it. You know, you can trace the tribe of Judah, go down, you come to Solomon, and then eventually, physically came to Christ. So you will say that scripture was fulfilled. But you see, God in speaking also spoke in the spirit. The word of God has a natural application, and the word of God has a spiritual application. You must always look at the three dimensions of the word of God. So, what is the import of what God was saying? He was making a promise to him, and that was what Peter was talking about. That he was talking about the resurrection of Christ. That he wasn't just talking of a king being put on the throne, but he was speaking of another throne. Okay, so when he speaks of a throne, he's not just speaking of a natural kingly throne, he's speaking more importantly of the real throne. And that throne has to do with the throne of God. And that throne of God, as we will see, that throne of God is you. That throne of God is your soul. And that is what you see in the holiest of all. The mercy seat is a throne. And it is the soul that must come there. So God makes a promise from the brazen altar. When you come there, God makes a covenant with you. I will give you the sure mercies of David. I will take you from being an altar of Baal, and I will make you an altar of God. I will make you an altar and a throne of God. So the priesthood, when we talk about the priesthood, we are speaking about the real priesthood. And that is the priesthood of the soul. And that is what God is interested in. And I will show you, you will see, that the real priest, in fact, when you think of the priest, you think of priesthood, you must think of the soul. Because the soul has always been the real priest. And God has made an oath that that priest, that soul, must come to the place of authority. There is a promise that God has made to me. So it's not as though that you, well, because you love God so much, but it's more of what God wants to do in you, that he has proposed that there will be a people who will rule and reign with him on the throne. Praise the Lord. So that is the number one principle, the sure mercies of David. That God has promised that he will give us the sure mercies of David. Now, okay, I just feel I should explain it more. Now, when we think of resurrection, man must have three resurrections. The resurrection of the spirit, the resurrection of the body, and the resurrection of the soul. The three of them. Because man is in those three dimensions. When Adam sinned, when he fell, those three dimensions fell and came into darkness. And God must also raise them and bring them back in him. So not just the spirit, the soul, and the body must also be raised. Now, let's look at the second principle. Now, the second principle we will see in John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verse Oh, sorry. Okay, from verse 22, it says, "You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Amen. He says, God is a spirit. Verse 24. "And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So if they ask you, what is the true worship of God? What is the true worship of God? It's when you worship God in spirit. Amen. When you worship God in spirit. Now, when the Bible says in spirit and in the flesh, what does it mean? Remember, we're doing Bible study. Yes, who knows? If the Bible says you are in the spirit and it says you are in the flesh, what does it mean? Yes? Yes, give us the scripture then. Yes? Everybody has a spirit. Everybody dwells in the body. That doesn't mean that you are in the spirit. Yeah, don't you read the Bible? There's no scripture. Yes? What does it mean? That what now? Read the scripture. You are getting it, but let's read the scripture. Romans 8. Because that's very important. Romans 8, verse, is it 7? Oh, yeah, read it. You are not in the flesh, because, read it, yes? Who has seen it? Finish. Do you understand? It's very clear. So what is it that makes you to be in the spirit? That the spirit of God dwells in you. Okay? Now, if the spirit of God is not dwelling in you, where are you? You are in the flesh. Okay? So what makes the difference is the spirit of God dwelling. Now, this spirit, he's singing, what is it? It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know what he's saying? This is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are now in the spirit. Okay? You are not in the flesh. So somebody who doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or who has the baptism but is not being led by the Spirit of God, what is he? He is in the flesh. So he cannot worship God. He cannot please God. You can only please God when you are in the Spirit. Okay? So it is giving you an idea what spiritual worship means. It means a worship that is ordained and anointed by the Spirit of God. Now, why am I going to somebody said, we know all these things now. Yes, I know you know. You know our students, we said very simple questions for them and they failed. Do you know why? They are reading heavy things. So when they come, they say, define so and so for me. He said, imagine, he's telling me define this. You should ask me big questions. No, we'll not ask you a big question. We'll ask you so simple. Define so and so. You say, what is this? So it's a glass slide. You feel it because he doesn't understand. Then from that, I will ask him bigger questions. When you know the principles, then you can build. Many of us, we are building without having any foundation. Okay? So, the reason why I'm doing this is because many of us are still operating in the Old Testament. That's why I'm going like this. Many of us, even myself sometimes, I behave as somebody who is in the Old Testament. And I'm telling you, brethren, that Old Testament cannot survive the darkness of now. The darkness that is coming now, that Old Testament Christianity cannot. Because you're walking along the road, a spirit is telling you your brother hates you. Say that brother, he hates you. He has not called you. That's why if he loved you, he would have called you. How do you get that thought from your mind? Do you understand what I'm saying? How do you get that thought out of your mind and be free? It's a spirit that has jumped onto you. And he's telling you that brother, that sister, she doesn't like you. And he's giving you reasons why you should hate that sister. Do you understand what I'm saying? The darkness has taken a new dimension. So we must change our operation. And the only way to change and to overcome is to go back to the foundation. Okay? So we are looking at two types of priesthood. We are not even discussing, well, the Old Testament, and then we are looking at the New Testament. And the New Testament is a priesthood of the Spirit. While this other one we are doing is that of the flesh. And majority of what we are doing, what you know today, as what you call Christianity, is Old Testament. 90% is all of it is Old Testament. We're just scratching. We're not even entered into the, and the time is far gone. You know, and that's why I said we must make a transition. Okay, so he's saying God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Alright, let's read one more scripture. Alright, to get the third principle. We will come back later. I just want to give you, and then we will come back later. Let's read another scripture, and then we will come back. We have seen John 4:23 talking about God being a spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now let's go to Numbers 27. I saw a scripture that excited me. Numbers 27:15-16 says, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the God of the spirits of all flesh set a man over the congregation." My God. Hallelujah. Did you read that? Okay, let's read it again. It says, let the Jehovah, that word God is the word Jehovah. Okay? The God of the spirits of all flesh set a man over the congregation. So based on this scripture, who can define what a man, who is a man? Who is a man? When the Bible is based on this scripture, who is a man? If they ask you, define man, who are you? Okay, who are you? What would you say you are? Based on this scripture, you are flesh. Hey, I'm not flesh. I'm not, yeah, you are not flesh. he said he is flesh. Me, I'm not flesh with you. So tell me, yes? Who? No. I said, define it. Oh, you. Define it, not me. So that when they say false doctrine, we will catch her as the preacher of false doctrine. Oh, yeah, talking like, hey, who are you? Not we, you. Read now. Read the scripture. Yeah, you are sleeping. Huh. You cannot sleep here. Read. Don't worry. Let me put. Okay. So the spirit of all flesh. Of all flesh. What does it mean? Yes. We should talk now. You're afraid. Yes, yes, no, no. Define mind, define yourself. You see the problem we're saying? We are based on that scripture, define yourself. Uh-huh. Every day you carry Bible. Oh, yeah, today, talk about it.
Man is a soul. Man is a flesh that has the spirit of God.
Uh-huh. That's the one I taught you before. Now, the one you are reading now. This one you are reading now. Forget about this one. Based on this scripture, who are you? Mm-hmm. Yes?
Flesh that has a spirit.
Okay, bro, your what?
Flesh that has a spirit.
Flesh that has a spirit. Uh-huh. Okay, yes?
Flesh that has a spirit.
You see the problem that those Englishmen had? They were afraid. When they read it, they were afraid. They throw the Bible away. They say, no, okay, and they ran away. Okay. Your soul. Have you seen your soul before, Bro Ruben? Okay. If you have not seen your soul, what is it? Is that the one? Have you seen your soul before? If you have not seen your soul, what is it? The soul is a spiritual container
that contains the spirit.
That contains the spirit. Okay.
And then the body contains the soul.
Good. Okay. God bless you, brother. At least we are coming out from the shell small. Okay. So the soul is a spiritual container that contains the spirit, which is contained in a fleshly container. Okay. Is that correct? Is that correct? Bradusi said, if it is a dog, if it talks like a dog, walks like a dog, looks like a dog, behaves like a dog, what is it?
A dog.
Yeah? Okay. So this soul, if it is like the spirit, it contains the spirit, it behaves like the spirit, what is it? Okay, I'm trying to make sure that you will not forget. He says that the God of the spirits of all flesh. So man is a spiritual being that lives in a physical body. Okay, we'll agree with that one. Eh? Now man is a spiritual being that lives in a physical. So the body is not really the man. Is it not so? The body is not the man. Who is the man? Okay. So there are three parts. Two are spiritual. One is. So what are you? So man is more of a spirit than a natural dimension. Amen. Hallelujah. You are more of a spiritual being than a natural physical being. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you understand that, then we can go forward. All right, let's go to the next scripture. Now let's go to Matthew 1. We're still laying foundation. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1:21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So we are coming to, this is the other principle of priesthood. So you read it. What is the principle there? How many people are Emmanuel? If your name is Emmanuel, you can raise your hand. If your name is Emmanuel, raise your hand. He said, you shall call his name Emmanuel. Meaning what? God with us. Amen. What does Emmanuel mean? And the Lord spake to Moses and said, Build me a sanctuary that I may dwell in them. That is Emmanuel. Do you understand? Do you understand? Exodus 25 verse 8 says, Tell them to build me a sanctuary. Why do you build a sanctuary? That he may dwell. Where? Where does God want to dwell? In you. Hallelujah. And I said, what is Emmanuel? God with us. How many people believe Emmanuel? Can God be with you?
Yes.
You know who God is. Tomorrow, do for the smallest ant. The smallest ant you can find. You are smaller than the ant, as far as God is concerned. Do for the ant, the smallest ant. They put it on your hand, let it crawl around. You are smaller than the ant. Do you understand? Emmanuel means God with us. That is the principle of priesthood. God doesn't want to dwell in this house. This one. He's not interested in this house. He's not interested in programs. He's not interested in I'm an elder, I'm an evangelist. All those things are just... What is God interested? Emmanuel. God with you. Then I say, who are you? Your mind. Your emotions. Your desires. Your will. The things you are doing today, God wants to be in them. Amen. It says, build me a sanctuary, means bring me to your house. Bring me into your daily activities. I want to be with you when you are washing. When you are abusing your neighbor, God punish you. He is there. He is there with you. You say, God, thunder, fire you. He is there. Hallelujah. No, amen. Yeah, what is the problem, man? Okay, lose. What is the problem? Am I causing any problem? Brother, am I causing any problem? I've caused a problem. Okay. Oh. People say you believe in Emmanuel. Okay. How many people are practicing Emmanuel? I didn't say how many people belong to MISO. Or you went to December camp meeting. How many people are practicing Emmanuel? Hallelujah. God with us. God must come to my mind. He must visit my mind, my emotions, my desire, my affairs, the things I have done today. Think of all the things you did today. Was God there? Was he walking with you? Was he going with you every step? Hallelujah. Amen. That is priesthood. And that is the priesthood we are coming into now. We are coming into reality. Amen. So when you think of Emmanuel, you must think of another word. Amen. That word is Christ. So let me draw it on the board. So you have Emmanuel, they have Christ. Emmanuel is equal to Christ. That is the new mathematics. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Emmanuel is equal to Christ. Emmanuel is what? God in us. God in man. Amen. And when you say God in man, God is a spirit. So he's speaking of the spirit, the soul, and the body. That means the body will also be changed to become spiritual. Amen.
Amen.
The Bible says there is a natural body and there's also a spiritual body. Amen. That this body is going to be changed. We shall be changed and we shall put on a spiritual body. Hallelujah. Amen. There is an order of resurrection. First, the spirit. The spirit of man is the first to receive the fullness of Christ. So when you come to baptism, you receive the fullness of Christ in your spirit. That is the first order of resurrection. What is the second order of resurrection? The resurrection must go from the spirit into the soul. Okay? So the first one is the human spirit. And the second one is the soul. And when the soul changes, it will take its body. But the real man is the soul. Amen. So when you receive this change in your soul, when you receive the Holy Ghost, you are now in the spirit. The Holy Ghost has come. This Holy Ghost is the spirit of adoption. Do you understand? So let me write the word adoption. Who is he coming to adopt? Hey, I can go and sleep. Do you understand? Because God made a covenant. I will give you the sure message of David. It is important that I must go. Because if I do not come, the Holy Ghost will not come. Do you understand? The Holy Ghost will not come. So I must go. Now when I go, I will give you the Spirit, another comforter. And what will he do? He will show you things. He will bring you into all truth. He will help you. He will guide you. Amen. That is why you have the Holy Ghost. To adopt your soul also. So that your soul becomes a son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, let's put it this way. When Adam was walking with God, he was in the spirit. Because he was in the realm of the spirit, isn't it also? But he was removed and put outside the garden. So Adam came into the realm of the flesh. Amen. He became a man of the world. Do you understand? Adam is now a man. That's why you see the man is a man of the world walking around. He doesn't know God. He doesn't have the appetite for the table of God, to eat the things of God, to feed on, you know. Adam was eating spiritual food. He had appetite for God. He had a hunger for God. Amen. All that, the natural man doesn't have the hunger for God, because he's a man of the flesh. The Spirit of God is not in control of his spirit. Another spirit has taken over. Amen. Hallelujah. Another spirit has taken over. So God must do something. God must design a program to restore this man back. And one of the first things God does is what? To give you his spirit. He calls it a deposit. Amen. It's a deposit, a down payment. Okay? So you have a down payment. This is the purchase possession. Amen. The soul is the purchase possession. But before you can take that soul, before God can possess your soul, he pays the deposit. He gives you his spirit. And he comes into your spirit. And your spirit is filled with the Holy Ghost as a down payment. Amen. And God uses your spirit as, you know, I don't know how to say it. It's like a foothold. Amen. It's like a beachhead. As a launching pad. Amen. So the Holy Ghost that has come into you, it's not that for you to speak in tongues and run around. It's so that from your spirit, he might also bring your mind, bring your emotions, bring the different parts of your soul into the realm of the spirit also. Because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means your mind, my emotions must also come to the realm of the spirit. Amen. My spirit must, you know, my mind must come to the realm of the spirit. Amen. And the only way to do that is for the Spirit of God to come in and then to baptize you, to bring you, to quicken you, to lift you up, you know, to lift you, to break the hold of the flesh. Amen. So the Holy Ghost is given to break the bondage of the flesh over the soul, over the mind. The Bible said that when you shall turn to the Lord, what happens? What is the veil? That when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that Jesus Christ has brought a new priesthood for us through his flesh. Amen. So when you break through the flesh, you become a priest. Your mind can now become a priest. Don't you understand? Your mind is in the realm of the flesh. It must come to the realm of the spirit. And what is separating your mind from the spirit is your flesh. Amen. And the Holy Ghost is given to you to help you to break through your own flesh. And as you break through your flesh, you become a firstborn. You become part of the church of the firstborn. Hallelujah. So your soul now begins to function as a priest. Amen. Your soul cannot function as a priest because it's in the flesh. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. It's in the realm of the flesh. God is a spirit, but your soul is in the realm of the flesh. So your soul must be captured, must be quickened. Amen. Must be resurrected. Must receive the energy of God. And God says, I will now put my law in the inward part. Do you understand? He said, what the law that was weak, the law was weak through the flesh. The law only said, do this, do this. But this one is not saying, do this, do this. It comes inside you and begins to change you. Hallelujah. It begins to say, he will say, I will do a new thing. I will give you a new heart. Hallelujah. So you receive an ability to do the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm saying there's a new priesthood. And it is the priesthood of the spirit. Amen. Before you can become, or before your soul can function, you must break through your own flesh. Break through the veil. Amen. Okay, I went ahead because the spirit was flowing, so I went a little bit ahead so that you could see where I'm going to. Amen. But I'm going to come back again. Amen. Okay. So let's where are we now? We're in Matthew 1. We're looking at Emmanuel. And I say Emmanuel is like Christ. Hallelujah. I notice today is Friday. People are tired. You can stand up and go to the back. Amen. You know, this is a teaching. It's not, I'm not shouting like Brother Isaac, who will wake everybody up. So you have to make an effort. Amen. Say amen now. Now, I said Emmanuel means God with us. And I said this Emmanuel means also Christ. So what does that mean? Now, what is Christ? Who is Christ? What do we know about Christ? somebody says Zion. Leave Zion, they don't know. Christ. Yes, Christ. What is Christ? Lawyer, tell us. Messiah. I know it's Messiah, but what is Christ? The anointed one. Hallelujah. Yes? The pastor's one. Okay. What does Ephesians 1 say about Christ? That you have the head and you have the body. Isn't it also? Isn't it also? Okay, so let's read Ephesians 1:21. Ephesians 1:21. After we're going to ask questions, though. I'm going to ask questions at the end. Okay, but Ephesians 1:21 says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. So Christ is head and body. Amen. And Christ has a head. And let me say it. If you are in the body of Christ, then you must have one head. Amen. If I am in the body of Christ, I must have one head. So in the body of Christ, there's one head and many bodies, many members. Isn't it so? Amen. So, if it's the same spirit that is instructing you, and that same spirit is instructing me, we will do the same things. Amen. We will hear the same thing. Isn't it so? We will hear the same thing. In fact, we will receive life from the same person. Hallelujah. So, you have to check yourself. Who is your head? Amen. And before Christ can become your head, you must submit your head. It's a head offering. Hallelujah. It's a head offering. Say, God, I give you my head so that you can become my head. He says, seven women will take hold of one. One man. What did they say? We submit to you. Did they say we submit to you? He said, we will eat our own. If a man is eating his own bread, then it means he has a different head. Amen. Because when you are eating, it is in the head. It is not in the leg. Hallelujah. Let us eat our own bread. Let us wear our own apparel. It means they have a different head. They are not in the body of Christ. Okay, they have a different body. Amen. So the question is, who is feeding you? Who is feeding you? Well, maybe tomorrow we are going to deal with it. We are going to look at the different doors that are in the soul. There are 6 doors in the soul. Amen. 5 are in the flesh. Only 1 is in the spirit. Do you see the problem? There are 6 doors. The number of man is 6. Is it not so? 5 are in the flesh. Only 1 is in the spirit. So who has more power? Who has more power? Lawyer, who has more power? 5 are in the flesh. Only 1 is in the spirit. And the one in the spirit is blocked. It's closed. Hallelujah. Say amen. So the soul has been completely made a carnal, fleshly, you know, a carnal man. He's a man of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. But God wants to close the back doors. Hallelujah. God wants to change our appetite. Block those doors. Close them. Hallelujah. So that there will be only 1 door open. He says, this gate shall be called the East Gate. It shall be only for the prince. Hallelujah. Amen. It shall only be for the prince. Hallelujah. Let me show you the back. Let me show you that door. That's the door here. Amen. That is the East Gate. Amen. Amen. You know, if God is coming to you, He will come to you by His word. Say, and the Lord said to Moses. He didn't say, the Lord made Moses feel good. Do you understand? Is that what He said? The Lord made Moses feel good, and Moses knew the Lord was talking to him. Is that what the Bible says? And the Lord said to Moses, do so and so. If God is coming to you, He has to come by His word, through the mind. Amen. He said that Eve saw that the tree was good for food, and she took and ate. Do you understand? She didn't hear from God. Even what she heard from God, she put it aside. She was walking with her eyes, with her senses. Amen. And she fell. And brethren, many of us are in the situation of Eve. Amen. We are being ruled by our senses. Amen. We are ruled by what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we feel, what we taste. Amen. The 5 senses are ruling our soul. Amen. And God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that means that soul cannot worship God. Hallelujah. It's not bringing any offering to God. Hallelujah. It's bringing an offering, but the offering is to the flesh. Hallelujah. Say amen now. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, we're talking about the priesthood, the real priesthood, spiritual priesthood. We're talking about overcoming. The things that can make us overcome. The things that can bring us to the point where we will continually be overcomers. Praise the Lord. So he says that the body is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And he says Emmanuel is what? God in us. So God wants to fill you. Amen. God wants to fill the soul. And it is when God fills you that you become part of the body. Because the body are those who are being filled by the Holy Ghost, filled by Christ. Amen. So that is the other principle, that we must be part of Christ and we must be filled by the Holy Ghost. Now we are getting to we are almost finishing. Now the next one now is the most important that we are looking at this night is the principle of Melchizedek. Amen. Amen. What's happening? We are tired. Don't be tired. Amen. Melchizedek. Amen. Hallelujah. Who is Melchizedek? You see, all the things I've been telling you about the short messages of David, about Christ, about Emmanuel, about your soul, they all come together in Melchizedek. Amen. So who is Melchizedek? How many scriptures in the Bible? The first mention of Melchizedek, can we read it? Genesis 4, 14, 18. Okay, read it for us if you see it. Genesis 14, 18, if you see it. Amen. Okay, so this is the first scripture about Melchizedek. Okay, now if you go to Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 7 begins to talk about Melchizedek. Okay, so I'm going to draw a chart on the board. Okay. You have eternity, you have time, and you have eternity. Amen. Now, the scripture tells us in Hebrews 7 that this Melchizedek is without father and without mother. Is it not so? Have you met any man who was without father and without mother? Without descent. Without the beginning of age. And without the end of age. Amen. So this Melchizedek was there from the beginning. So which scripture tells us that? Which scripture tells us about this Melchizedek? Okay, let me tell you. Do you know the scripture that says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world? Where is it found? The scripture are saying, yes? Revelation where? Okay, you can find it. But the scripture in Revelation says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. So this priesthood was from the foundation of the world. And it means that at this place there was blood. And there was a lamb. Meaning that there was a priest. Amen. The priesthood of the Melchizedek was from the foundation. Because the blood was slain. There was a sacrifice made from the foundation. Before time began, before even Adam sinned, the blood had been shed. There was a priesthood already functioning. Amen. And God said to me, someone was asking me, who is Melchizedek? I didn't know the answer. And I heard something, someone whispered to me, that at the foundation of the world, the blood was slain. He became a priest. So anytime he could come on the earth and manifest himself. Hallelujah. So there were four children, you know, the three Hebrew children, they were in the fire. Amen. And before they knew what was happening, there was the first person that came in. Amen. And say he was like the Son of the Most High. Amen. Hallelujah. Then Joshua was there. Is it not so? He was there. And he saw someone. He said, who are you? He said, who are you yourself? Amen. Say, I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Hallelujah. Remove your shoes. Says, are you for? He said, I'm not for you or for. He said, you have to identify where you are. Hallelujah. So, we are speaking of a priesthood that has been from the foundation. Amen. It is a priesthood of the Spirit. Amen. Do you understand? It is a priesthood of the Spirit. Amen. It is a priesthood of the soul. Amen. In fact, in the scripture, the priest is the soul. Because that has been of old. The priesthood of Aaron was temporary. Amen. It was very physical. Hallelujah. And it was just for a small period of time. Amen. The real priest is the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you understand? The real priesthood is the priesthood according to the order of Melchizedek. That's the real priesthood. Amen. And brethren, we must make that transition. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to show you. That there are two priests in the land. The old one and the new one. Amen. And God has been telling us to make this transition and we are taking too much time. The train is about to leave us. Amen. We are still struggling with the old one. And God said, you don't understand. The real thing is coming. And that is the priesthood of the soul. That they that must worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. God made man to be a priest. Hallelujah. Man was made to be a priest. Everything you do is an offering. Hallelujah. Everything you do is as a result of the influence of a spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, the soul of man is a habitation for spirits. Amen. Okay, the Bible says, what does John, 1 John chapter 1 says? That our fellowship is what? Is with the Father. Who is the Father? The Father is the Spirit. Isn't that so? Our fellowship is with the Son. Who is the Son? The Spirit. Our fellowship is with what? The Holy Ghost. Who is the Holy Ghost? The Spirit. Amen. But how many people were born Christians in that state? Huh? Were you born a Christian? Okay. So before you became a Christian, what were you doing in your soul? What were you doing in your soul, brother? Before you became a Christian? Okay. Don't be annoyed, but I'll tell you. It's either you are, don't, bad is a good, it's either you are worshipping the devil or you are worshipping God. Hallelujah. We have to call it by his name. Oh. We have been serving devils. There's no in between. It's either you are serving the devil or you are worshipping God. All of them are spirits. Amen. Amen. Man is a temple. Okay? Man is a temple. Alright, I'm getting into trouble here. Okay? So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 so I can save myself. We're almost there. I'm at number 7. And I have number 8 and 9. They're about the same. We're even moving into 9, so I will soon close. So I know you're tired, so just try and be awake. We'll soon close. And then tomorrow we should be fresher. It says, be ye not. Huh? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Don't sleep now. Don't sleep. Wake up. All my people are sleeping now. It is raining all over me. Wake up. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, it is raining. We cannot forget it now. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Whether the devil likes it or not, it is raining. All over me. Amen. I can feel it. The latter rain. Amen. Ride on Jesus. Give us more rain. Amen. Until we are wet. Until we are soaked, amen, with the latter rain. Brethren, this is the latter rain. Hallelujah. The devil cannot cheat us again. I agree. I used to worship devil. No problem. The question is, I won't worship devil again. Hallelujah. Amen. You say, hear a little. Hear a little. Amen. So let's read it now. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, unbelievers. Wait. You know, don't worry, I won't take time. We'll just finish this verse, then we'll close. What fellowship? What is, do you know what is fellowship? Okay. Sharing. Communion. What fellowship hath what? Righteousness with what? Unrighteousness. And what, well, I read now, and what communion hath light with? Okay, that's a good one. And what Okay. Okay, hold on. Now it says, what agreement has the temple of God with the temple of idols?
With idols.
Yes, with idols. Okay, which also means with the temple of idols. You say, okay, read now. Ye are the temple of the living God. Good. Read on. Amen. So, So he's very clear. Can you read 1 Corinthians 10:20? 1 Corinthians 10:20. Okay, let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 10:20. All right, go. Okay. So it's very, very clear that the things with the Gentile, the word Gentile is the word ethnos. Is that what they have the word ethnic? Amen. It's the same word that is translated nations. But when you look at it, it means a nation or a tribe. Means a group of people that have the same mannerism, isn't it also? Huh? Good. Human family. But let me tell you the way God defines it. The group of souls that have the same nature, as far as God is concerned, are ethnos and nations. Amen. There are three levels of soul. There is what they call beastly soul. Then there is a soul that is ruled by the senses. And then there is the spiritual soul. So there are three nations as far as God is concerned. Amen. And he's saying that what the soul offers to, the offerings that your soul makes, it is being made to a devil. So what the Gentiles offer, they offer to devils. Because an idol is nothing. You go and see a stick. Huh? You see a tree. You go and look at the tree. What do you see? You see three, say there is no spirit there, isn't it so? Is there anybody who can say that? You come to that Amadio and her tree, you say there is no spirit. The power of the tree is what? Is the spirit. Amen. Bro Felix, God bless you. Huh? Amen. It is the spirit that is the strength of that Amadio and her tree on the road to the stream. You know, when you come there, everybody goes from that side and goes to the other side. Why? Is it because of the tree? There is a spirit. Amen. So, the soul of man worships and makes sacrifices to devils, to spirits. And when you feel an urge that you cannot control, it is a spirit. Do you understand me? When a brother is coming to your mind, say, this brother, I hate him. It's a spirit that is pushing your mind in that direction. And when you get annoyed, you want to say something. I hate you. It is a spirit that is troubling your emotions. And many of us, we are not able to resist because we do not know who we are. Amen. We do not understand that spirits are dwelling in our emotions, in our desires, in our will. And God says, you must drive the spirits from your soul. He said, look, take a knife. Look at the Amorites. Go and cut the mountain. Do you understand? God has brought us into the promised land. He has given us everything that we need. Say, drive out the Amorites. Drive out the Canaanites. Drive out the Gergashites. Some of them, they dwell in the earth. They dig ground and they live there. Others are dwelling on the mountain. Others are by the side of the sea. Do you understand? Those are different types of spirits that are dwelling in the realms of our soul. Amen. And we have to drive them out. Amen. That is the priesthood. That is what God is speaking of. For a long time, we have allowed this spirit to rule and have dominion over us. And God says it's a time of atonement. Do you know what it means? Atonement means you begin to afflict the soul. All those spirits that your mind has harbored, your emotion has harbored. You have one offense. Somebody did something against you 20 years ago. You are still carrying it as a baggage. Whenever you see him, don't worry. You are planning the day you will be a big man. Then he will come to your office and you will retaliate. Do you understand? You are carrying a demon going around. And God says, this is the year of Jubilee. Amen. Amen. But how can you drive the spirit out of your emotions? So no man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. So the purpose of this teaching is to give us principles to drive the spirits from our soul. Amen. Because this soul is the temple. This soul is the altar. Amen. And what you're saying is that there is the altar of the devil and there is the altar of the Lord. This is not so. It's the same soul. There is the temple of the Lord and there's also the temple of idols. It's the same soul. There are not two souls, it's just the same soul. So it determines what we are going to do. And that's what Paul was saying, telling to the brethren, that what communion, what agreement. He said, come out from among them, and I will receive you. There must be a coming out. Amen. We must make up our minds to come out, and the Lord will receive us. So this priesthood of Melchizedek, we're just touching on it. Tomorrow we are going to get more into it, and then we will look at the practical dimensions of this priesthood of Melchizedek. It is similar to Abraham. God said to Abraham, come out from your country, come out from your tribe, come out from your family. You see, God was taking away the roots of Abraham. Amen. He was cutting off his roots so that he can be a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. He was cutting off his fleshly. So for you to be a priest in that order, that means all those five doors must be blocked. Hallelujah. All the five doors through which man receives life from the earth, can happen. The Bible said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the Lord. Amen. That is the life. Amen. Now, it's just when we are ready, we just remember 5 minutes, we read the scriptures. 5 minutes, we listen to tape. And then we have fed the soul. But it's going to change. Amen. It has to change. Amen. Where we will live by the word of God. We will live by the energy of God. Amen. And these other things will now become by the side. Amen. The energy coming from watching television, from fashion, from the things in the world, the life you get from it will be nothing. Amen. Because you are feeding from God's dining table. Do you understand? There is a life. Say, there is a river that makes glad the city of God. Amen. Brethren, there is a change. There is a change. God is saying he can feed us. He was telling you about husband and wife. He said, Christ nourishes and what? Cherisheth the body. How you know you are in the body of Christ is if you are being fed by the head. Hallelujah. And the head will feed you with its own flesh. Say, my flesh I will give to you. Amen. And the Holy Ghost will take the things of God and bring it to us and make it available to us. You know. So I think I'm going to close. I'm going to close at this point. I think we have covered some of the basic things. It's true, some of the things may be new or may not be very clear. Tomorrow we're going to go into more detail. And then we are going to look at the practical applications. It's not supposed to be a preaching. It's supposed to be something practical that we can understand, something that we can apply, we can begin to apply. Amen. That as you are going from now, between now and when you wake up, the majority of what you will do is fellowship with God. Hallelujah. The majority of the life you will receive is a life from God. You are hearing God speak to you. Amen. Say amen, man. You should be hearing God. You should be hearing God say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Amen. He says that the man heard God speaking to him from between the cherubim. Do you understand? God can speak to you, but you must come to the cherubims. You must come to a place where God speaks. God doesn't just talk anywhere. There's a place where he's waiting for you. Say, I will meet you between the wings of the cherubim. When you get there, you will hear the voice of God. Amen. Do you know that you can be hearing the voice of God every day? You wake up in the morning, God has spoken something to you. You have a word. And that's the word you are going with. Amen. As you are going through life, you are just meditating. You are hearing and talking with God, walking with God, conversing with God. And, you know, that is a new lifestyle. Amen. That he's bringing us to. It's not something in the sky. It's real. And he is calling us to come to that place. But many of us, we still have the mentality of church. It will no longer suffice. Amen. Church cannot solve this problem. Amen. The darkness coming is deeper than church. Amen. Can you imagine all those people who are living in Lokoja? And where is it again? All those places. Did you see the picture? Wake up. There are brethren there. There are brethren in that place. Where are they now? They are floating on top of water, using fire to float to their house. Destruction is coming. And it will take a people that are hearing God, that can see in the spirit. Amen. To be able to escape from the destruction that's coming. Amen. That one was flood. We don't know the one that's coming. Amen. And the time to walk in the spirit is now. We must hear from God. Amen. We must know when God is saying move and God is saying stay. And you cannot hear. It's like a child. She's in the womb. She's hearing the mother's voice every day. When the child is born, she knows the mother's voice because she's been hearing it. If we are not used to hearing God's voice, when God speaks and say move, you will say, God, say I should stay. And sudden destruction will come. Amen. So this is to make us look inward. The cherubims were focused. You understand? There was no distraction. They were focused. They were looking down on that mercy seat. They were ready for fellowship. Their whole purpose was what? Fellowship with God. Do you understand? When you say cherubim, you're not talking of start to fly in the air. Even though they were telling us to fly at the camp meeting. Amen. We're talking about focused in God. Are you focused on God? What do you really want in life? Are you focused on God? That nothing can change your focus. That is the life of the cherubim. Amen. Say, God, I want you. Lord, I want you. Amen. Whether there is food or there is no food, rain or no rain, sunshine or no sunshine, I want God. Hallelujah. Is it possible? And when you are there, God will meet you. He will come to you and dwell. He say yes. And he begin to speak and show you things. Amen. So I think we're going to stop here. I don't know if there are questions. We can take the questions or comments and then we can go home. Tomorrow we'll come back again. We're looking at priesthood, principles of priesthood, and then we're going to get into the real aspects of priesthood, bringing offerings, the offerings of the soul, you know, the type of offerings that God wants us to bring. Have you noticed Melchizedek brought bread, wine? Amen. And everything in the tabernacle is what? Bread and wine. There was a bread of meal offering, and there was bread. It's the same pattern of ministry. There must be bread, and there must be wine, and there must be blood. Amen. So tomorrow we're going to look at those aspects of priesthood, so that we can begin to function as a priest in this house. Amen. So that when the spirit of anger is rising up, my friend, not in this temple. Amen. Do you understand? When lust is coming in, say, no, this temple is dedicated to the Lord. Hallelujah. When something wants to defile you, say, no, you cannot. Whether you are sleeping or your walls are all raised, no spirit can jump in. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is where God wants us to come from. Amen. In the spirit. When you overcome in the spirit, the natural will not be anything. Amen. When you will see, the doors will open. Amen. And you see, you will come into a new dimension of walk with God. We will know God. The reality of God will be like Brother Hubert, as I'm seeing him now. That's how God will be real to us. Do you understand? Many of us, God is not real. We know God in the head. When God is this time, we are imagining Him. He said, I want to come to you and dwell in you. He said, God in you, Emmanuel. Hallelujah. We have gone beyond outer courts. Now, the Holy Place, God is saying, you must come to the place where the glory of God will be made manifest in this body. Hallelujah. We have come to tabernacles. God is coming down, and He's going to make His presence known to you. And when that presence is known to you, people around you will also know. Amen. They know that God is with this one. There is something special with you. Amen. Because they can see the presence of God. They can see the power of God walking in you. Hallelujah. Amen. He said there was no light in Egypt, but in Goshen there was light. Amen. This is the Goshen now. Hallelujah. Within you there is light. There is understanding. There is a direction. There is a focus. You are not beating around the bush. You can see clearly where God is leading you to. Amen. If you are a businessman, God will give you a business plan. Don't run around the whole Port Harcourt. God is telling you, fish here. So I went there before. God said, put your boat. You go there and your boat breaks. Hallelujah. Because of the presence of the Lord that's coming. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So what we can see is very practical, and then tomorrow we will try and make it more practical so that we can relate it to our daily activities. You have a question? Sorry, we will close in a minute. Well, we're almost through.
Yeah. to be absorbed. And if so, be absorbed in this flesh for which? And if it is being absorbed in this flesh, meaning there is no space for that, then how come Adam fell? Because he was walking in the heaven of the spirit, and all of a sudden he sent him, started manifesting in the spirit.
So what did Adam do? God said, eat of the tree of life. And the tree. So which one did he choose?
I wonder how come you will be living in the spirit. Because the spirit is
not. Adam was a man. So he chose, God gave him two options. He chose one. It is true that Adam was walking with God. But you see, Adam had not yet come to fullness. Because he had not yet taken of that tree of life. The tree of life is Christ. Do you understand? So, but he had a choice. Take this one or that one. The same choice that you also have now. To choose Christ. Okay, to feed on Christ. The Christ is in three dimensions. There is a Christ in you. There is a Christ in our midst now. And then there is Christ as a person, as a man. Okay? So, when we gather, Christ gathers with us. Christ is also ministering to you. The Christ in you. Amen. But you can refuse to partake of Christ. He said, how can the man give us of his flesh to eat? They went away. So it's a choice you have to make to submit to Christ. So if you choose Christ, you will receive life. If you reject Christ, you receive darkness. And that's what the man received. Do you understand? But we will explain it more tomorrow. But it will be clearer by tomorrow. Yes? Yes.
That Adam was not perfect. Adam had not attained fullness. God said, I'm going to make you let us make man after that we have image
in our likeness.
See, and Adam was grown into that stature of the fullness
of Christ.
You discover that God was coming to Adam every Because before Adam could get to that point, the devil came to him. Amen. And he chose the devil. But we are coming to the point where we are going to choose God. Like, and the pattern that we have is Jesus Christ. He is that. And Jesus says that this is the express image, Hebrews 1 and 2 are sharing, the express image of God. So what God wanted to make in Adam was fully Christ, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're going there. Amen.
That's why it's called the second Adam. Or the last Adam. Amen. The Bible calls him Protos Adam. That's the beginning. The other one is a scatter, the end. So Jesus is the end. Adam was to go and become the nature of the last Adam. Amen. So that's the choice you have. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so I think we've had a nice time. We can close, do not. Amen. Okay, so let's pray. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. You know, something in my mind, Lord. In my mind.
Amen.
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 I'm our mind has been changed. Praise the Lord. And what we are receiving is the bread of heaven.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
That the bread is that they are the bread that came from heaven. And what we are receiving, believe me honestly, is that bread from heaven.
Amen.
And if we receive it enough, that when you put on that bread, you will never die.
Amen.
Amen. You overcome the last enemy, also. That enemy is death. And we're in the period,
oh, yes,
where we have the opportunity of overcoming death. Amen.
Amen.
We sing the song, Heal My Mind, Lord. Heal
my
mind. Let
each thought
be of the
purest kind.
Let's see, let the Lord will receive the world. Let it become a fountain.
Put that mind in their sacred circumstances. I prefer to be alone.
essentially even that you are doing in the midst, O God. We bless you, O God. Bless the children. Mm-hmm. Oh yes, for there are people who are blessed so that these things have been linked at this time. Bless the children. Let us be moved, O God. The world, O God, that we have sent for to school, so from far and near. Bless them, O God. Let them be leads, O God, of this word from heaven. Meet unto them, O God. Let them put away with this people they said that you gave it for a good feast, O God, of meat and a slice of piece of bread and a slice of wine. Let it spread this people there, O God. So those who are will not compromise, O God. Let it energy level, O God, in this assembly increase, O God. Let it increase. Let it be more life, O God. Let it be more life with me, O God. Let it darkness, O God, be judged. Hallelujah. My God, we accept that we are a spiritual people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're a people that must live and walk in the spirit. We're people who, my God, that we are sitting at the foot of our eyes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we have no confidence. We trust in Christ Yeshua. And we have no confidence in the flesh. We make that confession. And if we have experience, oh God. Then, thank you, God. We thank you. Bless our brother, oh God. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Let him partake that which you have.
Amen.
Comfort through him.
Amen.
Let us partake of him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We bless you, O God, so that you bring, O God, all the time to the storehouse, that my house will be full of bread. Let this house be full of bread, O God. As men come in, O God, each time we gather, let there be bread, O God, enough for every man, O God, to eat and strengthen to run, my God, the 40 days. Yeshua.
Right.
We bless you, our God. Thank you for your great name, mighty God. Thank you for tonight.
Right.
As we go, we receive your blessing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right.
Oh yes, we trample upon every serpent.
Yes.
Every scorpion, everything that the devil has set against the church, my God, every manipulation from hell, everything that he has set up to distract us, be alive. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with us. The church stands in the name of Jesus, and the Lord rebuke you. Be frustrated. Hallelujah. The troubles of sickness, the troubles of disease, the troubles of fear. My God, put them mind of accidents, put them mind of kidnappings, and put them mind the things of robbers. We thank you tonight. Hallelujah. Yet for in Goshen, that life. And darkness shall walk around. And I will thank you, O God. We bless you. And as this is beginning tomorrow, O God, there will be much light. You will open the doors again unto us. You will give us someone. We bless you, our God. You will praise.